Hello and welcome back to Family Law, A Case for Children. Today we will begin to paint a picture of the period when it was deemed that a child became an adult. In doing so, we will be able to better analyze decisions and laws made in connection with children. Attitudes towards children between 500 and 1066 is very scarce, I should say, due to the lack of surviving information. And there have been archaeological studies, and from that we can make a few conclusions. But what we do know is that death was prevalent at the time. As a result, infant mortality became common, which should not be. And King Alfred said, What sight is more intolerable than the death of a child before its father's eyes? And that shows that there was grief. Sometimes we think that within the Anglo-Saxon era, because they had so much children, they didn't care. But the statement made by King Alfred shows that there was emotional attachment to the children, and as a result, there was grief. Although documentation is scarce, in Grave 133, the 7th century Anglo-Saxon cemetery at Castle South in Barton on Humber, a grave of a baby was found. As pre-Christianity customs, the baby was buried with objects associated with it. So we have three glass beads and a feeding bottle shaped like a breast. The feeding bottle gives the impression of parental care. We can say, if not all children, some of the children were cared for from the bottle that was found in the grave. But this idea of some changed with the introduction of Catholicism or Christianity, where the belief of salvation and the saving of the soul of each individual was paramount. As a result, the status of children began to change. Religious leaders and writers such as Elfric, who was around in 490, to Chaucer, categorized the killing of an infant as a murder. And it was held on the same level as that of killing an adult. And why is that important? It's important because of the value that was placed on an adult. You know, for example, they could keep the land, they could go to war, while children were not able to do any of that, especially infants. It was seen as robbing the victim of life, not just in this world, but the next. Babies who died unchristened would go to hell, and also the child's killer, unless they repented. The penalty for failure to baptize a child where that child dies unbaptized, the one who fails to baptize shall pay compensation of all he owns. Now, this is really interesting, because when we look at the status that religion has now in society, and to think 1500 years ago, if you didn't baptize your child, you would lose all that you owned. It's interesting, isn't it? It's astonishing how change happened so quickly. And yes, 1500 years, one might argue, it's a long time. But it's at the same time, when you look at how much influence religion had in society and the status it has now, it is quite amazing. It is quite a big change. Anyway, shall we move on? The King Inn of Wessex enacted that an orphan child was to be cared for until he was 3 years old. Then his continued maintenance would be assessed according to his appearance. The period of infancy of the child was really short-lived. It was in the main defined by physical development. But as we know, Some children, quote unquote, as we say, look grown for their age. But that does not equate to mental maturity. And we could see that the laws made by the kings about the age of maturity and the orphans, those laws give us a glimpse into the thoughts about children and, by extension, childhood. Once again, King Anne of Wessex made provisions of those who had been abandoned or whose fathers had died. And as mentioned earlier, he was the one who made the law about the three-year-old and maintenance. He also enacted that if a man and wife had a child and the man dies, the mother shall keep and rear the child. She has to be given 6 shillings to maintain it, a cow in the winter and an ox in the summer. King Ethelred the Unready, who reigned between 978 and 1016, decreed that all widows and stepchildren shall not always be unhappy, but should be readily gladdened. I am really not sure how this could be upheld. What is readily gladdened, and how do you uphold that? It's not something you could measure. How could you measure happy? My idea of happy is not my neighbor's idea of happy. So it's an interesting idea. And one questions whether or not they expected anything to actually happen, because those are the things that cannot be measured. So it raises a lot of questions. And one of them is that many of the provisions seem to have been made to show the piety of the enactor or the king, rather than considering the welfare of the child. Here we have the one who fails to baptize a child who dies was penalized by losing all he owns. But no such provision was made for the breach of the law of maintenance by Anne of Wessex. And the question here is, did it actually have anything to do with the child? Or rather, does it actually show us that what was most important was favor with the church and Rome and not the children? As in today's society, the control of the children belonged to the parents. They administered punishment to whatever degree they saw fit. The child had no recourse in law, as they could not be a witness against their parents. Therefore, the safety of the children with regard to restraint of punishment rests on public opinion and the church. However, the laws once again gives us a glimpse as to how children were seen up until what age they were deemed to be of majority. We see in 7th century in Kent and Wessex, children of 10 years no longer needed a guardian to be tried as an accessory to theft. King Æthelstan, who reigned between 924 and 939, enacted that thieves should be subject to the full rigor of the law if over 12, which might have included the penalty of death. Later, it was thought that this was too cruel to execute so young a person for such a slight offense, that a change was made that no children under the age of 15 should be executed unless he minded to defend himself or tries to escape. Now, this is where I think there's a level of madness, because I've had children, and all they ever want to do is defend themselves. Even when they're wrong, they defend themselves. It's almost in their nature to say, I didn't. What happened? I don't know. Was a regular answer in my house. You know that I don't know. So when you take into consideration that we are considering, or they were considering, taking the child's life, that child knowing that death was probably the end result, I would think that they would want to defend themselves. Any normal human being would stand on a mountain and shout, "I did not do it." But if the child did that, from the law there, they could be executed. Or if they were in prison and they really were not guilty and they tried to escape, they could be executed. Oh, it was a sad state of affairs then. By 1016, during the reign of King Cnut, the age was once again changed, as boys aged 12 were considered free men and could join local government, which included an oath not to steal or to be an accomplice. So we should see the lowering of the age here again. So from 15 now back down to 12. The law seemed to show that the lawmakers seemed to determine adulthood from puberty. Therefore, by 12, a girl would be an adult, and boys 14 years. But if we look at the law enacted by King Cnut, it will go back to 12 years. Now, I must apologize. My pronunciation of the Anglo-Saxon names must be horrendous. So please forgive me. It's awful. So I try. Doesn't seem to work very well. Anyway, let's move on. The idea of adulthood was led by the church. Children under the age of puberty were seen unable or too immature to commit sin or to understand adult concepts and duties. Having stated the above, I could easily argue enacting laws for piety reasons and executing a child is a failure that goes to show the welfare of the child had not been considered. But I cannot in all good conscience come to that conclusion. If I do, by golly, what can I say about the modern era? In 2016 in America, a 14-year-old was sentenced to life without parole for murder. In 2023, two teenagers were convicted for murder, and more than likely, they will get a life tariff. I am not saying that actions should not have consequences, and neither am I saying that they should get a slap on the wrist because of their age. But I do question the understanding of adult concepts and duties. When we, as adults, make decisions, many of us have made decisions that we actually did not consider the full consequences of the actions of those decisions. And some of them were detrimental to our family life and detrimental to us. So therefore, it is unlikely that children growing with brains maturing would be able to truly understand adult concept and duties. And unlike our Anglo-Saxon counterparts, we have psychiatrists, psychologists, pediatric mental health, information concerning the development of the brain, information concerning puberty. When we consider all of this, should we not be better? Not taking lightly that people have suffered loss, parents have suffered loss, families have suffered loss. Should we not be further ahead in understanding and dealing with young people, children who commit crimes? When we look at the medieval era, we have the church here and by extension society believing that the children under a certain age did not understand adult concept and duties. These are not conversations we, as a modern society, should still be having. It seems like we have not evolved. We have not learned from the past. We have not set in place strategies and penalties when dealing with children who commit heinous crimes, considering all that we know about the brain and mental health. So therefore, can I say there is a case to be answered? I would say no, because we are failing also. I believe the action here is to ponder why have we not learned anything from the past? And should we not be doing better? Join me next time as we continue to look at children and childhood in Anglo-Saxon England. I do hope you enjoy this episode, and I do hope it piques your interest, and I really do hope it makes you think, because as life and time has gone, we have to deal and children have to deal with so much that I believe that we should really think and ponder, why are we still making the same mistakes that were made 1500 years ago? Should we not be better? Well, anyway, I do hope you will join me again. You take care. Bye.